The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Fans by the fans, welcome to the Non-League Football Show with me, Caroline Barker. Coming up this week, that time of year when promotion could be decided off the pitch. We'll talk ground grading. The Non-League Football Show podcast, sponsored by Pitch Hero, running your club online should be simple. So start your free Pitch Hero trial today and see what a Pitch Hero website can do for you. Let's bring in the team. We're talking ground grading in a moment. My first guest needed triple glazing installed between him and every official. Former manager at AFC Wimbledon, Dave Anderson.
That's a lie.
Is it, though? It was quadruple glazing.
It was quadruple, yeah. Yes, good evening. Good evening, boss. How are you?
I'm all right. I kind of think for your introduction, we should probably read Swampy's introduction equally. He probably needs that all the way around him at every moment of every day. From FC United of Manchester Radio, Swampy.
Well, good evening, Carolina. Good evening, David.
Good evening, Swampy. And what I'd like to do now is introduce Caroline Barker, the presenter, because last week at the start of the show, we really get Caroline Barker, the football supporter. I thought it was really good.
Oh.
And if you haven't listened, go back and listen, because there was a tear in her eye as she was going through it. So it's worth it.
I do feel much better about my side, Chelmsford City, this week. Although, as we speak now, they're holding a public meeting. And what I will find interesting from my moles and the eyes and ears on the ground is how much is said in that public meeting that was said in the private members meeting. So there could be a lot more revealed come this time tomorrow. But since we last spoke, the chairman has resigned and one of the directors has resigned.
So, I've seen that during the week. Kaz, do you think that's a move forward or backwards? Or
how do you read that? I feel we're in a much better position now than we were under the proposed Jade deal.
What is funny, Caroline, in fairness, I mean, you're talking about your football club, which you have a huge passion for. And I know, I mean, the week before you had a tear in your eye about Skelmersdale, and we know that story has a slightly more happy ending at this moment in time. But ourselves at FC United of Manchester, we've had, 10 years of being in the limelight as a football club. And we've gone through a tremendous amount of turmoil in the last 12 months. CEO has gone, together with all the board and other people in there. And people have had to speak their minds. And I think sometimes when you speak your mind, eventually things can change for the better. And you need it out in the open. There's no point in standing around turnstiles and standing around the ground talking about what if, maybe. If things get done for the right reasons, and the people that have been there in the past have probably been there for the right reasons, but sometimes, like with FC United and Manchester, there's time for a change. And that change is hopefully coming maybe at your football club. It certainly happened at FC United and Manchester. And we're moving forward as a football club. And a lot of pain and a lot of heartache. But that's the beauty of football. You have a chance, certainly if they're a fan's own football club, to change things. And we're moving forward now. And hopefully your football club to do the same as well.
So I've spoken about my football club. Swampy's spoken about his. We haven't got enough time to talk about your 52 clubs, Dave.
No, all I was going to say is I've had a few chairmen use that excuse on me. You know, we think the club's moving in a different direction.
Dave, any football club, you and Dave, I'll be honest with you, this would have you would be a benefit to any football club you've ever been at, and there's no question about that.
God bless you, son.
God, you can tell which one of us has been in the pub since 2 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, Caroline, that's no excuse. That's no excuse, Caroline.
And at the end of the show, Swampy's going to see us out with a song.
You might be right.
You are listening to the Non-League Football Show in association with No Pitch Hero. That will be what that will be.
What I could say, Kaz, is pissed hero, but you'll have to take that out.
No, you're right, we're not on the BBC. You can say it as many times as you like. Apologies in advance if anyone's offended. Now we've got the drinking out the way, perhaps you might want to pick up a pint for our next guest as well, because what a couple of weeks it's been in terms of ground grading. It's that time that quite a few people we know from previous leagues used to find exciting. But for most clubs that get involved in it, it's a tricky old time. Darlington have confirmed they'll appeal after not making their ground grading to go up should they make the playoffs. In a statement, they said they're liaising with Poole, who are in a similar situation. Mark Bunford from Poole joins us now. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, good evening, Caroline.
A similar situation, say, Darlington. So what's the rap with you guys at the moment then?
Well, we knew when we embarked on the journey that to put in the extra 250 seats or 240-odd seats in our case, it was just a step too far financially. The upgrade was big enough as it was. So we started the journey knowing that we wouldn't actually tick that box. And, of course, we had to make that decision back in October. And at that time, you don't know if you're going to be involved in the playoffs at the end of the season. You don't have a crystal ball. So we took a gamble and said, well, let's do what we need to do to make sure we don't get relegated. And as it turned out, that still cost us the best part of £170,000. The FA had told us if we completed what we said that we would do when we set out, that should be sufficient to get the grading, and that was the case. But we did get the formal confirmation this week that whilst we got the grade B, we won't be relegated. We couldn't formally take part in the playoffs.
So will you be appealing like Darlington are going to?
We have already given notice that we will be appealing. So it is our intention to lodge an appeal. The grounds of that, we've got to, I think, we were formally given 7 days. We asked if we could get an extension of another 2 days because of the bank holiday weekend. So we're hoping that we'll have 9 days to put that case together and put it forward and see where we go. We did hear from Darlington. We were aware. We saw reports in the press, and we were contacted by Darlington asking us what our intentions were. And I think we're both in the same boat.
Dave Anderson.
Yeah, Mark. I mean, I'm always sympathetic to any football team as a football manager that's in the position you're in, because you're going for promotion. But can I ask you just the basis of what grounds you can appeal on? Because it's very laid out, set in stone, really, isn't it?
Well, as I understand it, there are the requirements to prevent relegation, which is an FA requirement, and we've satisfied that one. I do believe that the requirement for the 250 extra seats is a requirement of the Vanarama National League and not necessarily that of the FA. So the appeal will go to the FA for the FA to make a decision.
On the subject of the National League, I have spoken to them. They say that letters have gone out to those affected, so clubs like yours, of course, that at the moment it would be inappropriate to discuss the content of the letter, but clubs have the right to appeal. But they go on to point out that the ground grading regulations are fully viewable on the FA website. Mm-hmm. So that would suggest, Mark, that they're kind of, and I'm probably putting words in their mouth, but throwing it back and saying, well, this is there to view on the FA website. So again, they're FA ground grading rules.
Yeah. To be honest, I can't say whether we'd be successful in that appeal or not. We don't know. We contemplated, do we appeal or don't we? Mm. And at the end of the day, we decided that we owed it to the manager, the players and the fans to at least have a go.
Are you concerned, Mark, given that Tom Killick, your manager, might walk away, or is he still very much part of the project and you'd go again next season to get in the playoffs or win promotion?
I don't think we would lose Tom. I certainly hope not. Tom's been with us longer than I've been with the club.
Yeah.
I'm coming to my ninth year. I think Tom's 13 and he's very much part of the fabric, Poole Town through and through. To be honest, Tom has known for a while that we wouldn't satisfy the requirements according to the wording for the playoffs. He is clutching now at the straws, hoping that perhaps there is a way and that the appeal might change that. But Tom was aware a few weeks ago that we wouldn't be satisfying the requirements.
Sorry, Swampy, just one more for me. It's a football. It's more that side of it, Mark. As a football manager, you know, I've qualified for playoffs a few times, and you know, that must be a real bitter pill for him to swallow, because you can't click your fingers and make it happen again next year, Mark. You know.
Well, not necessarily make finishing in the top five, but there's no reason why we couldn't actually do the upgrade next year before March the 31st. So if the appeal is unsuccessful this year, there's no reason why it couldn't be successful next year. Well, actually, we wouldn't need to be an appeal if we had the extra 250 seats.
Yes, no, I understand that. But what I'm saying is, you know, you get the work done. Say you lose the appeal this year, and please you don't. I want the team that finishes fifth, if you do that, to make the playoffs, because that's the whole idea. But you don't win your appeal. Next season, you do the work, and the football team don't make it into the top six. That would be a nightmare for a football manager.
Well, it would be, but I have the utmost faith in Tom Killick, and do take a look at our record. Every year we finished higher than the previous year. So if we end up fifth this season, and if we don't take part in the playoffs, I think our expectation is that we will be back in those playoffs next season. I know nothing is given, nothing is guaranteed, but that would certainly be our target, to make sure we are in those playoffs next season and taking part in them.
And as Dave said, it's the old stinker. You want stuff settled on the pitch and not off it. Go on, Swampy.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say basically that, I know from a Darling perspective at this moment in time, they've been back in football for 5 years. We know the trials and tribulations of a football club. The rules themselves only changed mid last year. There's teams now in the conference that actually would not be in the conference based upon the new ruling. For me, you've got to give both Poole and Darlington a chance to sort this out maybe in the summer months. And we're talking about in the region of £150,000, £160,000 to make these changes. Now, Darlington and both Poole are playing good football. They deserve to be where they are. I mean, Darlington themselves are right up there. They've got obviously Chorley and Stockport County and Brackley just behind them. But football should prevail here, and the business aspect of it. If football supporters were told tomorrow, look, we've got 300 seats and we've got 2,000 standing and we're going to go up, but we need to do that, are you prepared to stand? Those supporters would do that. They'd stand there. I know the rules are there, but sometimes you've got to accommodate it for the footballing reasons, not for these. I mean, I've been to football grounds, and I'm sure Dave has for over many, many years, where the toilet facilities aren't good enough, the showering facilities aren't good enough. I mean, Salford City sort of facilities, until recently, were absolutely awful. But they're now getting to a stage because they've got a huge amount of money to be able to do so. And football clubs don't have all the money in the world to be able to change it. They should be allowed to go into the division next and given the summer months to do so. And you can work round it. It's very, very simple. You can work round all these things. I understand you have to have certain criteria, and it should be based on safety and safety alone, not the number amount of seats, which is ridiculous.
Yes.
I hear what you say. I mean, I'll lay down a timeline for you. We achieved promotion in April last year, confirmed in May that we would get the promotion. We have to start thinking about what we're going to do to upgrade the ground. We know that we've got to do it. By October, we've got to make decisions about exactly what we're going to put in place and how much we're going to spend. And the $170,000 we've spent has been satisfying things like bringing the capacity to 3,000 when we get an average crowd of 550 at the moment. Putting in 6 turnstiles, we only open 2 on most games, unless we're expecting a large crowd. But these are the requirements that we had to satisfy. We had to upgrade the floodlights. I don't think anyone ever complained that the floodlights weren't bright enough previously, but we had to bring the lux levels up. So, you know, it's the rules. We've had to do it. So we've done absolutely everything that we've needed to do to prevent relegation. But to actually then put in another 250 seats under cover would have been the straw that literally broke the camel's back. And we would have been talking about Poole Town probably not existing next season if we'd spent that kind of money and not been involved in the playoffs, not got promoted. And we had to make a tough decision. So we took a decision at the time, and we'll see how it pans out in the next couple of days.
You know, Mark, I could sit here and play devil's advocate and say, as kind of Dave said right at the start of this interview, rules is rules, and you know about them before going in. When you look forward now to what could or couldn't happen, when do you expect to have a decision then either way?
Well, as I say, we put in the notice that we would appeal, and the clock starts ticking. I think we have 7 days then. As I say, we've asked to extend that to 9 days. That notice went yesterday. So it's either 7 days from yesterday or 9 days from yesterday.
Mark, good luck. Let us know how you get on. No doubt we'll find out anyway, but
I think
wish you all the best.
You'll hear about it one way or the other.
And I'm sure that, like I said, the FA aren't on to give their side of it. I gave you the national statement that we had, but it's very much all of us, I think, and probably the FA and the National League would agree. You want to see it done on the pitch at least. Mark, good luck. Fingers crossed, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks all. All the best.
Thank you, Mark.
Good
Mark
luck.
Bamford at Down at Poole. Similar situation,
yeah,
as we were saying to Darlington. Go on then.
Yeah, no, I have a couple of points. The first one is that, you know, listen, I'm playing devil's advocate. I've got to ask that question, but really my heart goes out to him as a football person. But I've two couple of points to make. The first one is they're now getting a situation in non-league football where you can't overspend on wages. You've got to show what you earn. That's sort of insight where, and we've all agreed it's a good idea. So my thoughts on ground grading is that if the average gets 500 people, why do you need a capacity of 3,000? And why do you need 250 or 300 or 400 seats? So if you have to pay wages to what your football club is, why can't you have a football ground to what your football club is? So
Dave, stop being sensible. Stop being sensible.
My second point is, then if at Christmas, or every team in this division or any division who needs a ground grading to change to go up should be given time to do it in the summer, but the club should have to make a commitment now, you know, at Christmas or whenever, and say, look, if we make a playoffs, we will, and we go up, we will have the ground grading change by the start of next season or by Christmas of the next season or something along those lines. I understand that the leagues have put it in place now, but the clubs would like to know their destiny before they spend the money.
Yeah, but Dave, the argument, Dave, again, and I know Mark's not on here, the argument is, of course, you know that if you did know the rules, but then, as you were saying, Swampy, and pointing out, things change. So that's perhaps where they've got an argument this season. But the argument against it is, do you know the rules when you're going into it, and you kind of accept those rules if you want to go up and through the leagues?
Yep. I get that. It doesn't mean it's right.
No,
it doesn't mean it's right.
And I totally agree with you.
I get that. And I honestly, I'm saying yes. That's the point I was making to Mark at the start. But it can be better than that. Mm. It can be easier for people. It can have more sort of sense. It can be more sensible.
Dave, let Caroline get the new guest on, and we'll you and me will carry on talking about it.
Yeah, that sounds slightly threatening, though, Swampy. So,
to be fair, I've had enough people tune off already for me talking about it. You can have your 6p's worth, you know.
We're talking a 6p. I've got a tip for you, although sadly you should have made it a few weeks ago. Because how do you fancy your chances at 117-1? Those were the odds stacked against Stalybridge boss Steve Burr, as his side won 3 on the spin after only winning 5 all season. This in their bid to stay in the National North, and he joins us now. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Caroline, you all right?
Yeah, I bet you wish you'd taken out that bet. Not that we can, of course, bet on football, but phenomenal turnaround. Phenomenal turnaround.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know what it's like. You get a little hint of the lads showing that they're capable, and then you get a win under your belt, then you get another one, and all of a sudden the confidence changes and you get on a little bit of roll. But we've got a lot of hard work ahead of us yet to maintain our conference status, because it's going to be difficult. Mm. But we've given ourselves a real good chance, which has been very pleasing.
Well, we should explain for those that haven't seen the bottom. I'm going to say it will be a favourable end of the table for you, but the National League North at the moment, so you're second from bottom on 29 points, but you've got a game in hand on Gainsborough, who are 2 points ahead of you, and a game in hand too on Worcester, who are further 5 points ahead of you. So this is what, when you set those kind of targets for your team then, has it all fallen into place as you thought it would?
Do you know what? I haven't set them any targets whatsoever, because I've not, since I walked through the door, I've not looked at the league table, because I knew it was a really tough position that they were in, and I'm not trying to be clever or anything like that. All my aims and efforts, along with the team and the backroom staff, have been just to try and change things around to start winning football matches for the football club. And I've said, whatever that takes us, that'll take us. So, you know, I'm not trying to be clever in any way, shape or form by saying I'm not looking at league tables. I'm not, because all we can do is worry about ourselves and try and win the next game and the next game and the next game till, you know, we're in a situation where the end of the season and we'll know where we are. And hopefully that'll be enough to, it will have enough wins to keep us in the division.
Go on, Swampy.
Yeah, Steve, good evening to you. It's Swampy from FC United Radio here. And obviously, you started the this campaign actually at FC United of Manchester. And if it wasn't for a world-class free kick in the 94th minute, you would have gone away with the deserved, in my opinion, 3 points. But I think a lot of people won't realise that you've only been here for a short period of time, because obviously Paul Phillips and Steve Halford, that came across at the beginning of the season from Ashton United, took over the mantle, and then an interim manager as well since. And you've come on. I mean, you were at Stalybridge in 2007 to 2009, and had a successful team there. So this resurgence, and to both beat Fylde, who've been running away with it, and then to beat Kidderminster, mm-hmm. probably I think the best footballing team in the division. It's testament to the way that you've approached it, and the game against FC United showed the quality of a young team with a little bit of experience. And what have you put it down to in the last five or six games, and the way you've reapproached things? Because you've only been here for a short period back at the football club that I know you've got a good history with.
Yeah, I think it's just down to sort of getting lads to believe in themselves, that they aren't as bad as what they've been showing, and just create a good atmosphere around the place. I mean, the game against FC, it was a real bitter blow to lose the game. I think it was with about probably 30 seconds to go in injury time, and it was a real blow, that was. And to get ourselves back to getting a win, going on and winning the next three, it was a testament to the lads that, you know, they showed a lot of character with that. But I think it's just creating a good environment and a good atmosphere around the place. I mean, we beat Fylde on Saturday, and you go into the sponsors' lounge after at Stalybridge, and you know the place was buzzing, and just that feel good factor about your team actually winning a game of football.
Steve, I mean, looking at, when you look back to when you first walk in the door, it'd be fair to say, I know you don't look at the table, but I'm going to tell you, they're not in a good place. So it must have been, the lads are nearly playing, give them a bit of belief, they're playing without any stress, any sort of worry, because it's more or less over. You now put them in a position where, in all honesty, win your game in hand, and you're really in the ball game now. Well, that will now bring a little bit more nerves into the dressing room, especially with the young side. How are you going to treat that?
Yeah, but I think like anything, once you start winning and the confidence is there, the lads are going in. You know, we've just finished a training session, and you know the lads are buzzing, and that comes with winning games. And I think with the younger lads, they probably haven't got that fear so much as maybe the more experienced ones. And I've always probably relied on maybe a lot of the younger lads through my career in teams I've had, knowing that they have got no fear. And more so, especially when you're winning games. You know, they get a bit cocky, don't they? And have to be brought down a peg or two. But no, like I say, there's a lot of hard work ahead yet. We give ourselves a great opportunity to pull something off that would be, you know, right up there for me on a personal note.
Particularly with the
season that I've had this season, where, you know, my time at Southport, enjoyed it, but just felt a little bit angered about how that was done. But hey, that's football, and you know, you respect people's decisions, and you move on. And it was nice to get back in so quickly, back in at Stalybridge. I know the people there. A lot of them are still there from before. There's one or two new people, but they, you know, the amount of work and hard effort that they put into the club, they, you know, you want to give them something back. And it's evident, obviously, when we came off after the kiddie game on Tuesday, you know, the supporters at the end are getting right behind the lads, and it's a great feeling that when you've got that.
I think we said before that whether you'd see that as redemption for you as to what's happened this season. But Swampy, I know you got one more, and then we're going to let Steve go.
Yeah, very quickly. I mean, you've got Gloucester, Chorley, Tamworth, Harrogate and Brackley to play. And then you've got the biggest game of the season, apart from staying up, the Manchester Premier Cup against my team, FC United yeah. Manchester, on the 4th of May, which is obviously, you know, I mean, and I honestly believe if you go on to win or to save the season, I mean, that cup final is going to be one great occasion for the football club. But, you know, you've got to be so pleased. Also, you know, if you can stay up this season, look into 17-18 season with a new ground being developed in the Stalybridge area. It will be looking up for the football club if you can manage to keep them up and do the job that you've started off so well this season.
I mean, it's always nice to be involved in a cup final at the end of the season, so that's something that the lads can look forward to. The icing on the cake for us will obviously be the fact that we can maintain the our nationwide North status. That's for us. That's our main aim. And you know, with a lot of the turnaround in personnel as well, it's getting a side out in the final because a lot of the lads have gone. One or two new ones have come in, and they're sort of cup tied. So, we'll look forward to that cup final when it comes, especially against a club like FC, because of great support. There'll be a lot of people there and a good atmosphere. But for us, obviously, our main targets now is the next biggest one for us is Gloucester on Saturday.
Yeah,
and then
big game,
we'll get
big
through
game.
That, see what happens, and then we'll look to the Chorley game on the Easter Monday.
Steve, we're going to let you go. Good luck, Steve.
Yeah,
listen, thanks very
like
much. We'll give it our best shot, and thanks very much.
Yeah,
of course you will.
I'd like to say as well, Kaz, you know, I'm not a great lover of teams called Celtic, as you know, but I really, and Swampy knows,
goodness
but
gracious,
I'm really rooting for. I think it'd be an unbelievable story. And the last little bit for me, Steve's got, he doesn't need fire, he's got plenty of fire, but it's just been stoked up by his treatment at his last club. And I think that's probably part of the success at the minute as well.
Well, Dave, I tell you what, the one thing that they've had against them really, Stalybridge, for this season, that they're actually, their ground is being used by a rugby league club as well. And in all fairness, there's a bit of a slope at Ewen Fields. It's one of the most picturesque football stadiums you'll ever go to. And FC United ground shared there for a long time. But the football's not been conducive. It came to FC United and they played some tremendous football and they were so unfortunate. We scored a 94th minute free kick and it was like Barcelona versus Manchester United in 99. The players collapsed in a heap because they deserved to win the game, but they picked themselves up, and to beat Fylde, who were tremendous, and then to beat Kidderminster, even better. I mean, these are the two teams that are flying in the division, and he's got calibre and quality. He's got a young team. He's got some good quality players in there as well. And I really, really hope that they'll stay up, because on our show that we do in the northwest of England, we've had them dead and buried all season. And it'd be an absolute incredible feat if they win it, if they stay up.
I know we'll probably, or you'll probably mention a little bit later in the show about Corby and their parting of ways with Gary Mills.
Yeah.
But sometimes that getting it, and they've got, what, three games left or something ridiculous, haven't they? But sometimes making those changes, as is being proved with Steve Works, as is proved, you know, all up and down the leagues, but you've got to be brave to make that decision and then to see it work too. And arguably, was it too late? Yeah. And now, reflections for the end of the season.
Gary Mills, the team was dead and buried, and he put them on a run that was absolutely incredible. A run that was Champions League-esque. It was absolutely incredible. The downside is they've come unstuck in the last five games. The three games to go, they're still there or thereabouts, and it'll be down to the players that get them out there. You know, the assistant managers come in there. It'll be down to the players really to perform now, because he did such a good job to get them out of the mire that they got themselves into, him included. And there will be another team that will have that double fourth from the Conference North, and then into the Northern Prem or into maybe another division next season, like a lot of clubs have done. But I wish Gary all the very best, and there'll be a lot more of that from Gary, I would have thought, over the next season or so.
Did anyone order pizza? Because there's a man, well, I hope he's the pizza delivery man. I'm not entirely sure who he is. He's waving through the window. I'll just wave back at him. It's not Dave Watters, I can tell you that, although he may have another sideline. We haven't heard from him recently. He's not dead. That's the good news. Here he is in action at the Isthmian League Cup final, where Billericay, our weekly soap opera, won 8-3. Billy Bricknell scored a 60-minute hat-trick as they came from behind to win an extraordinary Ryman League Cup final against Tunbridge. Here's Dave with Glenn Tamplin, Billericay owner and manager.
I haven't done this alone. It's a mixture of me, the players, the fans, and we've all come together as one. So we've all come together as one.
Oh, I can see that from the camaraderie with you all tonight and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And what's next on your list?
Well, the playoffs ain't over yet. We have a go at them, but if not, we're gonna win the league next year. We're gonna absolutely win the league.
Yeah, I think from what I saw tonight, it was tremendous football we played as well. I think he's a hero at the fans here. For anyone listening, they're all clapping him. What's this "what a waste of money" thing there? Is that ironic? What are they saying?
Because my winner's medal.
Yeah.
Because basically everybody's giving a stick to the players. We're having a bit of a joke saying what a waste of money.
Yeah, no, fair enough. So, it always goes in territory anyway, non-league.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You're the big boys, one of the big boys in the league now, aren't you?
Well, we haven't done it yet, but we're on our way.
Yeah, so next year. And then after that, I've heard you say you want to try and take it to the Football League eventually.
Absolutely. I'm not here for one promotion or two. I'm here for three or four. We're going to get to Division Two. That's the plan.
Right. How many years do you reckon? Two?
No, realistically, probably five.
Yeah.
Realistically, probably five.
Glenn, thank you very much for spending the time,
much.
Mate. Congratulations and good luck. Enjoy your summer after the playoffs.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks,
Glenn. Dave Watters then and Glenn Tamplin. I don't know how I can skew them into the show every week without saying it is like a soap opera, but one of their targets, Carlton Cole, is apparently going to go and play with Tony Adams. Have you seen that he's got a new club? No?
Granada.
Right, you are listening to the Non-League Football Show podcast, sponsored by Pitch Hero, the UK's number one provider of sports club websites. There was a lot of love this week. Did you both see it on social media? For a friend of Dave Anson's and a friend of the show, the Hemel manager, Dean Brennan, who joins us now. Hi, Dean.
Evening, guys.
There's always I said there was a lot of love. It's obviously delayed love from those two, but don't worry about that. Now, this was something that went viral, or at least got loads of retweets and likes. This about you going to watch six games a week, and you have to do that just to compete in the league against teams with larger budgets. This came out of an interview, didn't it? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, look, we've got four guys. I've got myself, Stuart Manor, my assistant manager, Dimitri Carey, my goalie coach, and our director of football, Steve Boone. And our aim is to watch six games each a week. That'll be from under 18 professional level to the under 23 games, to all the non-league games. And the more eyes we get out there, the better opportunity we have of seeing the next gen, the next Dolly Hawkins, the next Jamal Lowe and the next Nicky Cabamba and people like that have moved on from us in the game and done really well at different clubs. That's sort of our market and always has been. Because obviously we all know the finances in our division. You've got full-time clubs. So we've got to find a different way to do it, and we've always done it like that. But I always helped Dave with a few players as well when he was the Harrow manager. I did a job for him as well for free.
Yeah, for free.
He owed me because I signed him at two clubs and he did nothing. You talked a good game though, Dave.
That's an unjust. You know, the one thing I'd like to say to you, Dean.
Before you say that, can I just establish the facts
you
around this?
You can do anything you want.
So, no, thank you, because I'll just hang up on you. So Hemel, 11th at the moment in the National League South. And Dean, before I let the dog go at you, Mr. Anderson, when you say that you've not got the budget like the other teams, what would proportion-wise, I'm not expecting you to tell me because I know you won't, but say Maidenhead, Ebbsfleet, my team Chelmsford, Dartford, Poole, those top five in the league, how would you think your budget compares to those sides?
Well, to Ebbsfleet, it's huge. You know, they've obviously got a full-time budget. They've got everything. They've got no excuses, to be totally honest with you. They're a full-time football club. And realistically, I'm not trying to put pressure on Macca or anything as a manager. They should be winning the division with what they've got. Dev's an experienced manager. I think he's recruited very well in the summer and he's got a strong budget. He would probably, I would say, from what I hear and what I would know, I'd say he's sixth or seventh in the budget department. So he's done a fantastic job to be 5 points clear with four games to go. He's done an amazing job. So I would say, if I look at the division on a pay scale, I would say we would be about in the round 15, 16, 17. That kind of department.
So you're kind of six or seven teams above where you think your budget should allow. Go on then, Dave.
No, yeah, and it probably takes me, Dano, on the one thing I did want to say quickly was 6 games a week, 6 pints a game, 36 pints, but that's a whole different argument. But
don't measure everyone by your standards, Dave.
Listen, I've been with him often enough, so I nearly swore there. On a serious note, you know, we hear now, Billy Ricky, I mean, we had Glenn on a week or so ago saying 20 grand a week the budget is, and it will stay like that until it hit the conference. Ebb's Fleet full-time budget. Two things. When do you get yourself ready to take the step into dealing with a budget like that? And if and when you do that, how does your recruitment change? What happens then?
Well, you're shopping in a different market, aren't you? I shop in Aldi. Them boys are shopping in Harrods. It's that simple. That's the best way I can put it. Rather than buying a £6 bottle of wine, you're going and buying an £80 bottle of wine, aren't you? So, you just, if I'm being honest, you do what the Cowley brothers have done. You leave no stone uncovered. They go into every little detail on every player, who they recruit, their personality. And that's why they've been successful, because they're hardworking, they love it, they've got the drive. And if anyone's out, that's the key to having any kind of success, you know. They literally, should Lincoln really be top of their budget? I wouldn't say so, you know, with the other budgets in that department. But them boys work so hard. They do serious work on every player they sign, on every detail, on every team they play against. And they've done an unbelievable job. And that's the best way I can explain it in that sense. But for me, I look at Billericay. If you look at Billericay, the biggest thing for me with Billericay, they don't have an advantage. They have the best players, but they're not full-time. Yeah. They pay enough money to go full-time. Their advantage is to go full-time. So when everyone plays against Billericay, it's the biggest game of the season. You were the AFC Wimbledon manager, Dave. You know what it's like. It's the biggest game of the season. Mm. Was it enough to get you promoted out of the Ryman Prem?
No, it wasn't, no. Not me, anyway. Terry Brown found it all right.
Brown did it, yeah. You're right, Dave. You're dead right. But that's for me. That's why I would look at it. You can spend 20 grand a week. You can spend as much as you want. Look, a Bentley can break down just as much as a Fiat Uno can break down. And he says, yeah. So that's the way it works in this business. And I think if you do it right, you're spending that amount of money. That's the bit where I think they'll come up short. And I'm not trying to disrespect them or anything like that, because we dealt with Billericay a few weeks ago, and they were fantastic. Very professional. They bought Jake Robinson off us. Great opportunity for Jake, obviously, to earn more money and go to a fantastic. What he's doing is unbelievable for non-league football. He's putting on the map with finances, to be fair to him. And they're doing some good causes over there. I've seen things on Twitter where they're doing some good causes going into hospitals and stuff like that. And I think they've done a fantastic job. But for them to have that little bit extra, I think they got to go full-time.
But, Dino, last one for me. And I suppose I'm going to earmark this to you, and we spoke about this away from radio. But, you know, I feel that you now have to be careful of becoming a manager, that's what you do. You take small budgets, bring in good young players and sell them on. And that's who you are as a product. There's got to be a time when you have to think about the next step, about the big budgets and the big sides, surely.
Yeah, it'd be great, Dave. If I'm being honest, I'd love that opportunity. But Dave Boggins has given me a chance as my chairman. I'm only 26 years of age. I'm very young. You know, really, I should be just starting my management career. I should be only ending my playing career. But I've done 5 years now. We've managed to recruit a lot of finances. But it's the only way I can do it. Until someone comes along and says, look, listen, you're the man for me. This is what we want to do. And then it has to be the right agreement between every party. You know, but listen, I think I can do it with Hemel. I really do. I believe that. I believe next year we've got a fantastic opportunity if I can recruit the right players. This is the first year where I've had the opportunity to recruit the players right now. In March, we knew we weren't going to get in the playoffs in April. So it was the first opportunity we've had to actually speak to some players nice and early, looking to what we're trying to do next year. And I've got a little bit more experience. I made a lot of errors this year, I have to be honest. I'll be honest with you, I made a lot of errors in recruitment. I got it wrong in a lot of departments, defensively especially. Our defensive record is diabolical, really. It's embarrassing. But our attacking record ain't bad. And most centre-forwards that play for will score a lot of goals. So if we can shore it up at the back coming into next season, I think we can definitely improve on the last three seasons.
The last one from you, Swamps.
Yeah, I mean, going back to the scouting side of things, I mean, you know, I mean, I go and watch 2 or 3 games a week from the Northern Premier League to the Northwest Counties and into the Conference North week in, week out. And I think it's integral. I think you're 100% right. I mean, my father was a chief scout at Oldham Athletic at Crewe Alexandra. And it's all about scouting, scouting, scouting. anyone can pick a decent player out. It's picking a player out that's got a good blend for your football club. A lad that's come through the ranks. This season, I've looked at four players of which, to be honest, I've recommended, just as a football supporter watching three other clubs. Three of them are now actually trialling with league football clubs. So the players are out there in the lower leagues, and that's what you're doing. You're doing your hard work, your homework, and there's gems out there. We've seen it at the higher end where the likes of Vardy and so on and so forth have done brilliantly well. But there are players all over football that we can go out there and work. And the great thing is, you get your supporters can do it, the likes of I can do it. We go out there because we love football. We go out there and we go and watch it week in, week out. And I've met you on a few occasions. You've got a passion for football, and it's great to hear the way you're talking and going out there week in, week out from under-18s all the way through with your guys, and testament to you, because that's where semi-pro football is. And the likes of Carl Alexander have relied on that for what? How many years? Bringing in quality young players.
Yeah, you're spot on. Look, we look first and foremost, we all love the game. It's a sacrifice. I remember when I first got the management job, I'll be honest with you guys, I was on £150 a week and I lived on it. Dave will tell you that. I've told that story many times. I made a sacrifice to be a football manager. You know, I was a young child at the time, but I made that sacrifice because that's what I want to do. That's the career I want to get out. So you have to give everything to that. You can leave no stone unturned. And when you get it wrong, and I always say this to the players, when I get it wrong, I'll be honest with you. And I've got it wrong on numerous occasions. And I come back in and say, that's my fault. Tactically, I've got it wrong or whatever. Some players you get right, some players you get wrong. Some clubs, you know, you're the perfect manager for that player. Some players, they have to move on. It's just the way it is. But if you go out there and you're honest in everything you do in this business, I think people will be honest with you. And, you know, you'll always have good relationships with people along the way. You're never burn any bridges. You burn bridges in this business. You know, you get into trouble. No one seems to like you. So, but I think going back to the main thing for us as a football club, the most important thing for us is we have to have as many eyes as we can on as many games as we can in this area. And we're lucky we've got 14 pro clubs just in a 20-mile radius of this area. So we're very lucky that we've got a lot of games we can go to. That's without the non-league side. So, and we get a lot of favours from different loans and stuff like that. So we're happy with how we're going. And we're happy with our system at the minute. So we'll see if the chairman will give me a bigger budget, Dave, next year.
Well, he might not, because the amount that you've been speaking tonight, that's probably one match crossed off that you weren't able to see.
Don't worry, I was at a game today. Don't worry, I was at a game already this morning. Has to be done.
Too right. Dean, as always, a pleasure. Look after yourself and we'll see you again soon.
Bye.
Thanks, Dean. Dean Brennan, manager at Hemel. And like I said, that made quite a few headlines this week, the fact that they go off and they watch six games a week.
Part-time, do you know what, Kaz? That's true. It's absolutely true. I know we joke, and he is a mate of mine, but he's not my only mate. You know, but believe it or not.
Yeah, I know.
believe it or not. And when you spend time in his company, you know, and I've been around some really good managers, I've been lucky. He's got that in his pedigree. He definitely has. He's infectious, Dave, isn't he? He's infectious because one, he knows what he's talking about. Two, he loves it, and he puts that on to you. And if you're in the same mode and you love your football, you'll do nothing but enjoy his company or his dressing room or his training or how he goes about it. But I still think that there is traits and there's times to move forward, and he has to start to be thinking about that now. That's my personal opinion.
Almost covered everything off. Hopefully next week we'll talk to Alan Armstrong, who I'd hope to talk to this week. But you two have just carried on talking for Toffee. And also, he's want to talk to him about Lucas Sun going and signing for Middlesbrough, but also Blyth and how well they've done in winning promotion already. But they're going to get their trophy this weekend, so it's probably best to talk to him when he's got that bit of silverware as well, just so he can show that off too. One other line for you. See, Josh Gordon from Stafford Rangers, he's made that move to Leicester City. That happened this week too. Someone's just sent me, not that I was distracted, but the meeting, this public meeting that's been happening between Chelmsford City and the members tonight and the fans tonight, they're just saying, one of the lines that's come out, and I'm just reading from the Essex Chronicle that was down there, they say that there's next to no interest from the directors in becoming a community club. as well. I would like personally to see some kind of supporters' involvement in where it goes forward. They say the club will continue to pursue the option of being bought out as members originally voted on. The major creditors of the club are absolutely not a problem in all of this and have never been a problem. And they say potential buyers are coming from the local area and from further afield. There is less than 21 days, though, if you want to buy a Chelmsford City, to get on the blower and have a word, because that's when the EGM is. So anyone that wants to buy it, I'm looking at you both.
Hands tied, unfortunately, maybe with other football clubs, but...
I don't want to know what you're up to tonight. Yeah. All right, sorry.
No, my balaclava's in the loft.
Yeah. In orders. Caroline, though, let me tell you a very, very quick story. It's a very good one. It's
I'll be the judge
football...
of that.
Banks OD FC up near Aberdeen.
I've seen this one this week. I'm not saying you're old news.
I've had one of their footballs washed up in Norway. One of the balls has actually arrived in Norway this week.
And do you know what the best part of that story was? The guy in Norway that found it said, I think just with a wash, you could still play with it.
Yeah,
he's sending it back. Because that
exactly, yeah.
It's probably a centre forward that I've had that had a shot.
On that note, anything else you'd like to add, gentlemen?
Tomorrow, guys, I'm actually going to a league game. I'm going to see Crawley and Cheltenham. So I'm going to catch up with Mark Gray, and I know Gary Johnson's had a bypass. I'm not sure he'll be at the game, but non-league going back to league, if you know what I mean. So it'll be interesting to see how they get on.
When you say interesting this weekend too, big games for Coventry and Leighton Orient, clubs who could be relegated come 5 o'clock tomorrow. So for us, Leighton Orient in non-league football.
Well, nobody's, you know, listen, we've seen teams tumble before and no one's safe. And, you know, I've been there a couple of times and it's a proper ground and, it, you know, it's an area that's steeped in football. And for us, it's great, but it's always, you know, they're never happy to see us, are they?
On that tender note, good luck to everyone trying to avoid us next season.
Tell it how it is.
Yeah. Like Dean Brennan says, honesty is the best policy. So, shut
of
up
course,
and goodbye.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good night, Caroline. Good night, Dean.
Good night, Bond.
Good night, world.
Good night.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall.
No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.